And it's very true. Amen. 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 How's everyone doing this evening? Good? Oh, I have a message this evening. Thank you, honey. Thanks, sweetheart. Five things that the Holy Spirit produces in your life when you're saved. Five things that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, produces in your life when you are saved. And if you're saved. I had a lot of, in Paraguay, South America, there's a lot of charismatic churches. False doctrine, wrong doctrine, they mess up the Bible, they teach things out of place, they don't rightly divide, make a mess of things. And so I'll meet some charismatics and they'll say, so what religion are you? And I say, well, I don't really believe in religion or have religion, but I'm a Christian and I have Christ as my Savior and I serve Him and I'm born again. And they go, oh, yeah, but what I mean is what denomination? I said, well, I go to an independent Baptist, Bible-believing Baptist church. They said, oh, they say, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, they say to me. And what they're saying is that we don't practice in speaking in tongues or we don't practice in rolling on the floor and that's the thing. Doctrinally speaking, the Holy Spirit is not an energy force. He's a person. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God in the flesh. Amen. Not only that, you know how I responded to him? I said, well, of course I believe in the Holy Spirit. If you don't, the Holy Spirit is God. And that's what they don't understand. You can't be a Christian if you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you're none of His. Amen. So there's a mess doctrinally. And the Holy Spirit has a great part, though He's one of the... He's part of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are in one. And I love, and I taught this earlier, you know how we are made in the image of God, right? And I had somebody say to me, how am I made in the image of God? What, does God have a nose and hair like me? I mean, what does that mean? I say, well, there's three parts, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but there's only one God. And He made us in His image. So what that means is I'm one man, but I'm made up of three parts like Him, body, soul, and spirit. So you see one, but there's really three to me. And my body's not who I am. My body will die, but my soul lives forever, depending if you're saved or not, heaven or hell. So the Holy Spirit, actually, the day you trust Christ, you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. Do you know what the Holy Spirit actually does? Because we say Jesus came in my heart, and that's true, but there's a lot more to it than just that. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ's body. Amen. You're part of the body of Christ the day you get saved. Do you know that the day you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit immediately baptizes you, saves you, and puts you in Christ the day you get saved? Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. But I want to teach just on the practical side. Five things that the Holy Spirit produces in your life when you do get saved. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So if out of these five you say, I don't really have these fruits, you might want to examine if you have the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to study some of the biblical fruits of being saved, or should I say, some things that the Holy Spirit produces in your life when you're saved. Now, you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. But once the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're sealed unto the day of redemption, as the Bible says in Ephesians, and you can never lose it. So though we grieve and mess up sometimes, we're still saved, and that's only by His grace. Amen? Now, the first thing I want you to look with me, please, is in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I would have to say, is probably, now, I don't know the order of like what's first, but I do know that if you have the Holy Spirit, these will be one of those fruits in your life. Okay? And if you're saved, and if you've been saved for any length of time, you'll know that this is true in your life. Okay? So in 1 Peter chapter 2, are we all there? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Is everyone there? Amen. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Christians, the Holy Spirit won't automatically do that in your life. Now that you have the Holy Spirit, he empowers you to get these things out of your life and to live a more holier life for Christ. But we have a part in that. Okay? But verse 2, as newborn babes, that's not talking about being my first birth, being born in my mother's womb. This is talking about a spiritual birth. John 3:3, except a man be born again spiritually, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you get saved by the Spirit of God, when you repent and trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit immediately comes into your life, comes into you. He puts you in the body of Christ. You are his child forever. Now look what it says in verse 2. As newborn babes, now that you're saved, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What does that mean is, it's a comparison. I have 6 children. My wife, I think, I don't know how to say it properly. I want to say a word, but she, what's the word? She breastfed. Okay, I guess that's the best way to say it. There is, it breastfed, okay. There is, I think, a more political term nowadays. Well, my wife breastfed 5 of the one. Delilah was the only one that wasn't breastfed, but all 5 were, right? And they would cry and desire it, and they were starving in the middle of the night. Rah! And we have to wake up, and then we know what's wrong with them. They're just hungry. And they would eat and eat and eat. Now think, if you have a newborn baby that does not cry for milk and doesn't want to eat, something's wrong. It's sick. So it's a comparison. Now that you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, you know what is produced? You desire the Bible. You desire God's Word to grow. I remember that. I remember when I first got saved, I always believed my whole life in the Holy Bible because I always saw it and I was raised Catholic. And when it said Holy Bible, I just knew that was a holy, special book. But I never really read it, and when I tried, I never understood it, so I got discouraged and put it down. I said, man, that's too hard to understand. You ever been there? Well, what happened is when I got saved, I was like, I want to know more about God. Like, what does God say? And then you want to read, and then you want to ask questions, and then you come to church and you hear the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit stirs in your chest. And God moves in your being, in your soul. Why? Because as newborn babes in Christ, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. We desire the Bible. A Christian who does not desire the Bible is sick spiritually. And if you've never truly had an interest in the Word of God, you would have to actually examine, have I ever been saved? Because one fruit, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit coming in you, is desiring to know more of the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if you're like me. Okay, I know we're all sinners, but everyone's in different levels, everyone's different. But if I don't read the Word of God a lot, and I'm rushing, and I'm not spending a lot of time in prayer and Bible reading, I start to get more carnal, my spirit, my attitude, I'm more nervous. And then all of a sudden, there's something in my chest that says, you know, like calling me, like, you should come to me into the Bible, you should pray. And I know that God's the Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit's calling for personal relationship, but I'm too busy, and I can't right now, yeah, I'll do it, and you know it, and you think it, and you put it off. And then you realize, where have I been? I've drifted away from the Lord. Is that true? That's the Holy Spirit in you desiring God. Because as we feed our flesh, you have to feed the Spirit in your heart, or you will be a very carnal person. A very carnal person. Look with me in Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, 140. In Psalm chapter 119, actually, did you know Psalm chapter 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible? Amen. Did you also know Psalm 119 magnifies the Word of God? Verse after verse after verse is David magnifying the Word of God. Okay, so in Psalm 119, 140, if you look with me, Psalm 119, verse 140, look what the Bible says. Thy Word is very pure. There is no error in the Word of God. And when you don't understand something, or when you think there's an error, you just don't understand. God's always right and we're always wrong. And if you want to be right, it's because you're in agreement with Him. God cannot lie. Now, if God preserves the universe and our earth and trees and animals, I think God has no problem preserving a book. I mean, God can do it. But man always says, well, that's impossible. Because, you know, if a man tells the story of another man, and man, eventually there'll be errors. And thank God that we don't rely on man to give us the Word of God. He promised to preserve His Word, and God cannot lie. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, thy Word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant, are you a servant of the Lord? Loveth it. Loves it. I love the Bible. Sometimes I don't read it enough. Sometimes I don't study it enough. But something in me loves it. I know this will help me. I know when I'm down, it will encourage me. I know when I drift away, it will reprove me. Do you need God's Word like I need God's Word? Do you love God's Word? Hide it in your heart. Humble yourself. And don't find verses for other people. Find verses for yourself. Okay. Now, also what I've noticed is in the Word of God is that one of the things that the Holy Spirit produces in your life is that you naturally, without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, when you're lost, or even if you didn't believe in God, naturally we talk about what we love. I mean, that's natural. If you love sports, talk about sports. You love money, talk about money. If you love music, talk about music, right? Well, now that you're saved, you love Jesus Christ. And you have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in you desires the Word of God, you know what also will happen? You will have a desire to talk to others about the Word of God. It's naturally like, you know, like if you ever see a great movie, an awesome movie, or did you ever go to a restaurant and have a sandwich or a plate at a diner that was so awesome? Well, you tell your friend, you know, I just went to this new restaurant and it was amazing. First of all, the price, the food was amazing. So when you enjoy something, you want to tell others. It's natural, right? The sister had something great, wonderful in her work happen. She wanted to share it. That's a natural human nature. But how much more Jesus Christ forgiving you of all your sins, saving you from hell, filling you with His Holy Spirit, giving you a home in heaven, making you His child. How are you not going to be excited and want to tell someone else? It's a natural thing. Sometimes we fall away. Sometimes we're not obedient. Sometimes we get caught up in the world. Sometimes we get cold. And sometimes we don't do it. But if you're honest, when you first got saved, there was a desire to tell others about the Word of God. Would you agree? Not only that, I want to see other people get saved from hell because I was saved from hell. You know, a lot of Christians say they don't care if souls go to hell because maybe they were never saved from hell. I mean, if you were never saved from hell, why would you be concerned for others to be saved from hell? You see, you can only give what you've received. Amen? You can only give love if you receive love. You can only forgive your enemy if you've been forgiven by God. Amen? The other thing I've noticed that the Holy Spirit produces in your life, this is point number two, look with me in 1 John chapter 3. Okay? So in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14, please. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Now this is a cut and dry, direct verse. There's no need to understand what it's saying. In verse 14, the Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Well, I wonder. I'm not sure. Well, the Bible says, if the Holy Spirit comes into you, He will show you and tell you that you have been saved, right? And you have this confidence. Do you know man can't give you confidence? A lot of times in church today, somebody will pass by and the pastor will say, all right, repeat this prayer after me. You want to go to hell? You're a sinner? Yes. You want to go to hell? No. Pray this prayer. And they pray a prayer and they don't know what happened. They don't even sure they're nothing. And now the pastor or the personal worker have to convince them. If you prayed that prayer, you're saved no matter what. And that person, zero conviction. That person doesn't even believe it. But if he says so, I guess I am. And then goes to church and lives a life not ever sure that they're truly going to heaven because their faith is based on what someone told them, not the witness, the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. If there's no inner witness of the Holy Ghost, you might not be saved. Only God can reveal to you if you're saved or not. That's why when you go to the Catholics say, no one can know they're saved. Well, obviously because the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed to them. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, He comforts you. And then takes you back to the place where when you heard the gospel and trusted Christ as your Savior. And you say, yes, so didn't I get saved? You're my child, my son, or my daughter. Thank you, God. Thank you. But people are like, I don't know. I prayed a prayer, but am I really saved? Well, my pastor said, if you pray that prayer, don't doubt the devil's trying to get you. So what are you trusting in? Your prayer or that Jesus came in your heart? Now think about that. Is my prayer saved me or is it trusting in Christ and He comes in and saves me? Which one is it? Anyone could pray a prayer. Judas prayed a prayer, but he wasn't saved. Okay, so one of the things that the Holy Spirit produces in your life when you're saved is you love the brethren. And it's supernatural. It doesn't make sense. And I'm going to show you in verse 14. We read it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You ever go to another state, don't know anyone, but if you meet someone, the born-again Christian, automatic connection, automatic. We just heard a sister say she met the boss, had a bracelet, connected. Boom, why? When you have the Holy Spirit and you meet someone else that has the Holy Spirit, there is an attraction, and it's not even you. Normally in the world, you wouldn't even talk to them. Normally in the world, they don't have anything interesting. You wouldn't even be their friend. But just because they're saved and have the Holy Spirit, you're saved. The Jesus in you loves the Jesus in them. And the Jesus in them loves the Jesus in you. You love people. Might not like people all the time. Might not like what they do, but you love them. You wish the best. You care about them. You care about them. Look with me in John 13:35. John chapter 13. I love the brethren. I do. I love you. John 13:35. When I wasn't saved, I only loved my friends and I only loved my family. And if you weren't part of my group, I didn't love you. You know, that's the natural man. That's why when someone has the Holy Spirit, there's a supernatural love for people. Would you agree with that? The Bible says it. Now look in John 13:35. This is a great verse. By this shall all men in the world, lost people and other Christians, all men, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. The world does not love you. Jesus loves you. And the brethren should also love you. We should love one another in truth. Okay? You will love all types of brethren. So I want to talk about that. Look with me in, well, I'll just quote it. Luke 6:32. I'll just quote it. For if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. That's something supernatural. The drunk on the street loves his buddies that are drunks. The murderer loves his buddies that are murderers. Right? But only a Christian can love people who are unlovely. Want to know why? When I was unlovely toward God, he still loved me. God forgave me and God loved me. When I was the worst of the worst, he never gave up on me. How are we going to give up on others? We should have patience and love people of all color. Love people of all different, if you're poor, medium, rich, it does not matter. We should love people because God loves people. That is true Christianity. And you don't look down on others because they sin and mess up. The Bible says he that is spiritual, restore. Not kick down and say, ah, look at you, you're a wicked sinner. Repent. Though it's true, we're all wicked sinners and we all need to repent. But shouldn't we help out one another? That's what the Bible says. That's true Christianity. Is the world seeing true Christianity today? Or are they seeing a lot of Pharisees? A lot of self-righteous people who think they're more righteous than the other. Guys, I'm the worst of all among you. And I'm in the pulpit. I'm the worst. You say, how could that be? I know myself. I don't know you. And I know he's forgiven me and saved me. And I am just a vessel of mercy saved by grace. Do you feel the same way? I do too, man. I did too, you know, and I thank God. Look with me, please, in James chapter 2. Amen. It's a good reminder because this is true Christianity. Now, is it, well, I have to be more like this. If you have the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't be that hard. The Holy Spirit wants to produce this in your life. You just got to put yourself down and let God do his thing. In James 2:1-5, is everyone there? James 2:1-5, my brethren, the brethrenhood, the church, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons? For if there come unto your assembly, now, what is the Greek word for church? Ekklesia. What does ekklesia mean? An assembly, a called out assembly. So it's talking to the church. For if there come unto your assembly, that means your church, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Now, I know that word is different in these days, but that word in the old times meant happy, colorful, goodly apparel. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, sit right here, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? We should love everyone no matter what. Would you agree? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three, what is another thing that the Holy Spirit produces in your life when you're saved? You want to know what? Conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Look with me in Hebrews 12:8. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. Isn't it powerful just reading the Bible? Because the Bible like starts to touch us and like it makes our mind think. And then we start examining ourselves. That's God's word. That's what God does. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, that's chastisement of the Holy Spirit convicting you, whereof all are partakers. So all saved people have the Holy Spirit, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Then are ye bastards and not sons, means you're not saved. So what does that mean? Now, don't confuse. Lost people can feel bad for their errors. You have people who don't even believe in God that feel bad that they hit their wife or feel bad that they cheated and they got caught. They feel bad. They want to make things better. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's their conscience. And God has given a conscience in everyone. But the Holy Spirit will not just convict you that you're wrong. That's not because your conscience can do that. What does that mean, conviction of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit always magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will show you you're wrong to get closer to Christ. The Holy Spirit will say, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, it's to make you a better person for Christ, a better Christian for Christ. Closer, draw you closer to Him for Christ, for spiritual reasons. So it's not just, oh, I feel guilty. Because any drunk can feel guilty that he left his family and he's a drunk on the street. That doesn't mean he's convicted by the Holy Spirit. He has a conscience. So the Holy Spirit will draw you to Him. Amen? A lot of people never feel bad towards God. There are a lot of Christians today that think they just say, do, live, act any way they want, and they're okay. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit will say, you're not acting like Christ. You're not acting like my son would act. And you'd be like, oh, I'm wrong. And then we say, we're sorry. We confess. We repent. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, we already know in Romans 8:9 says, he that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. Okay? Number four. What does the Holy Spirit automatically do? Produce. Without you even trying. It will start producing if you're saved. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, that's Jesus Christ coming for his church, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There will be something in you to want to live a holier life. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever start like trying to get rid of your old music and get rid of your old ways and your old friends, and you used to go to places, drinking in bars, and you don't want to be there anymore. You want to be around Christians. You want to be around God's people. Well, where did that come from? It didn't come from your own righteousness. That's why a lot of people are prideful, because I'm not like them. I make good decisions. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't make any good decision. So we should all give praise to God that we even live a half-decent, straight and narrow way. So that's why it can't be so hard. It's not like, I do this and I do this. And God's going up there, buddy, you only do that because the Holy Spirit's in you. We have no power on our own. Our flesh wants to do wrong every day. But the Holy Spirit wants to live a godly life. Glorify God. Do the right thing. Do you have the Holy Spirit tonight? Are you saved? Are you truly saved? Have you been born again? Have you noticed these things in your life? Sometimes we grieve them. Sometimes we don't live them. But it's been there. It's been there. You've experienced it. That's why we keep on going, seeking it. And number five, lastly, of the message tonight, look with me in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, I already touched on this a little bit, but in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 and 13, great verse. Please try to memorize it if you haven't. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 and 13. Let's read. 10 to 13. He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. That's the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you shows you that you are saved, a child of God. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Not think, not hope, not, well, I did pray and I must be saved. Well, why, brother, sister? Because I like going to church. Well, so does every Catholic and Mormon, and so do Jehovah's Witnesses. So do Lutherans and Methodists. And then you got other religions. They go to their synagogue or they go to their temple. So lost people can go to church. Yes or no? So you can't say, well, I'm saved because I like going to church. Because then you're trusting in your works. Are you saved, brother? And then you're, I must be saved. Why must you be saved? Because I like hymns and I like Christian music. Well, you're not saved because you like Christian music. You want to know why you're saved if you're saved? Because Jesus Christ came into your heart and saved your soul. Because you realize you are a sinner and there's nothing you could do on your own to make it to heaven. And only through the love of God, which is through Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again from the dead, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. Have you done that from your heart? Did Jesus come in? You're saved. Now, has the Holy Spirit been trying to produce these things in your life? Love people, more personal relationship with God and the Bible? Has the Holy Spirit these days have been speaking to you, calling you for a closer walk with him? Is there anything in your life, in your speech, in your attitude that the Holy Spirit is convicting you? Would you obey him? If you hear his voice, it's best to obey him. Thanks for your attendance. Love you in Christ. Can we all stand, please?